First Samuel chapter 1, verse number 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now verse 19. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come, about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Hannah, or Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. Now, verse 1 of chapter 2, And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord, mine horn is exalted in the Lord, my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none as holy as the Lord. The end of verse 3 says, The Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions our way. Now look over with me to chapter 2 and verse 18. And but Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat, and he brought it up and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Verse 21, And the Lord visited Hannah, so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Verse 26, And the child Samuel grew on, and was in favor both with the Lord and also with man. Now look over to chapter 3, verse 1, And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious. The marginal reading of my Bible says it was rare in those days. There was no open vision. That is, it was not widely spread. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. Verse 9, Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Now chapter 3 again in verse 12. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever, for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. Verse 19, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and it let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. Now I want to link these verses with Peter's first epistle that we've just been hearing from. Just a brief reference. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. Chapter 2 and verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Chapter 3, verse 15. And this is what has kindled my line of thinking. But sanctify the Lord, a better reading, Christ as Lord, in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Chapter 4, verse 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice. Now chapter 5 and verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye had suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, if the Lord would help, I want very briefly to point out a line of teaching that I have enjoyed from what we have read. And you can see by the time and by the restraints that I appreciate, because there's two things I don't like. One is long prayers and the other is long preaching. Those who know the best of oratory tell us that it's an impossibility to hold anyone's interest on any subject for more than 20 minutes. So our brethren aren't too far off when they're talking about 30 minutes. But you can put the meat on some of the bones. In the first book of Kings, after the death of Samuel, of Samson rather, now Samuel comes to the fore, and he's about to assume the office of a judge for the people of God. We read in chapter 3 that he was established to be a prophet of the Lord. Now this was a dark day in the experience of a nation. We read that the word of God was rare. There was no open vision. And the message was concerning that day ere the lamp of God went out. And dear brethren, that's what has been impressing my heart. That we're living in days that could well correspond with this. And I'm wondering if the lamp of testimony that we have known as those that gather to the name of the Lord Jesus is endangered. Ere the lamp of God went out in the temple, God calls Samuel, just a boy. You know, it's a wonderful thing when a boy or a girl gets to the Savior. I heard my esteemed brother, Mr. Norris, recently at the conference in the Sioux say that at the meetings where he was saved, there was an elderly lady in her 80s that was saved as well. And there was much ado made about this old woman. But there was very little said about little John. Well, you know, it's a wonderful thing when a boy or a girl gets to Christ. And in the early verses of this chapter, I see a woman, and she's burdened because of this barrenness in her home. She's exercised before the Lord of hosts. She makes a vow to God. Now, I have never heard anyone minister the word regarding making a vow to God, but I believe it. Tell me, brother, did you ever make a vow to God? Dear sister, did you ever make a vow to God? When I was in Ireland a few years ago, staying in a farm home, I noticed a light burning under a door away into the early hours of the morning. And I said something to Mr. McKelvey, godly man that he is, that I was preaching with. I said, why is it that that light burns so long into the night? Well, he said, I'm going to tell you something, but don't you breathe it. He said, there's a woman in that home that you're staying in, and she goes into that room, and sometimes she spends nearly all night in prayer. And then he said, referring to a son in her family, he said, there was a day when she made a vow to God. He didn't tell me what it was. But something that he had told God, that she had told God, that she would do if God would answer her prayers. And God answered. And she paid her vow. Now I know what I'm speaking about today. I'm acquainted with a need among the people of God in this part of the vineyard. And you have loved ones, and they're in their sins. And what I'm going to say isn't going to be easy to say, but it's burdening my heart. And I want you to think of a contrast between the home of Hannah and Elkanah and the home of Eli. Here is a woman, and she's burdened. She prays before God. She continues to pray. And the time came when she said, for this child I pray. You want God to answer prayer in your home? Listen to what we read again about Eli. God says, his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. Now, brethren, listen. You take it from God. You forget the speaker. You've got loved ones in your home. Are you allowing them to become involved in the activities of this world? Are you like Eli thinking, oh, well, they're not saved? I've heard people say that, you know. If they want to go to the show, let them go. They're not saved anyway. And I could tell you of some today, and that was their drastic error. And they got a taste of the world and its ways. And they're lost in a godless world today. And they have no interest in divine things. Here's a woman, and she's burdened before the Lord. I'm glad our brethren have sense enough to put water up here. My father used to say there's some men don't preach hard enough to need a drink. Now, that's no reflection on my brethren. I don't know if they took a drink or not. But when you're choked up with hay fever, it comes in handy. But I want you to think now very quickly, just for a little time, about Samuel. I've already referred to the grace of God that reached him. That's chapter 1 of Peter's epistle. That's wilderness experience. You go through that wilderness epistle from the beginning when the grace of God reached those believers. How often God takes us back to Egypt, their bondage, their slavedom. He says, you're not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. That's the grace of God at the beginning. That was seen in connection with Samuel. It says, the Lord remembered her. Weren't we reminded of the Lord at the outset of our meetings today? Christ as Lord in the life. Would to God that I knew more about it. But very quickly, when I come over to chapter 2 of 1 Samuel, we read these words. Verse 21, Samuel grew before the Lord. Now that's what my brother's been emphasizing. What a wonderful thing it is to see progress, to see growth in divine things. The Word of God, to esteem it highly, to make it the man of our counsel. You know, that's not just pulling a little page off the calendar and salving your conscience and thinking, now, I've done my little devotion for the day. But to show that spiritual growth, the sincere, unadulterated Word of God. And by the way, brethren, I would read anything that would help me in the understanding of this book. You young brethren, if you don't realize it, you've got a legacy in that next room across the hall. And instead of putting all your money in your interests, what about trying to build a library so that you'll have helps? Helps. Now, I agree that this book should get first place. But I believe as well that there is a written ministry that can be a help to the people of God. Growing in grace. There's many spiritual dwarfs among us. You've likely heard me tell, I wouldn't dare divulge where it was. Well, it was in Canada. It wasn't in the States. It was in Canada. I was in a home and there's a little girl running around with a bottle in her mouth. And I said to the mother, how old is that child? Well, she said, she's too old for that. Well, that's what I was thinking, but she said it. She knew what I meant. There wasn't the progress. And dear brethren, there should be progress in your life and mine. Thank God when young men are spending their time with the Word of God. I know a young brother, I don't know if he's here or not. I haven't seen him. But I'm going to tell you something. I learned of his interest in some other young believers. You know what he did? He encouraged them systematically to get into God's book and to write down some of their thoughts. Then just to slip it in an envelope and mail it to him. And then he would add a comment or two and mail it back again. There's a young man that's developing a shepherd's heart. Growth in divine things. It says about Samuel that he grew before the Lord. Then I want to quickly look over to chapter 3, where it says in verse 19, he grew and the Lord was with him. Now that brings me to chapter 3 of Peter's epistle. Sanctifying Christ as Lord in the heart. You see, my behavior as a believer is governed by this area that I give to my blessed Lord. And as I go through chapter 3, I see something that doesn't mark grace or doesn't mark growth so much, but it marks godliness. Godliness. Lots in this epistle about subjection. Chapter 2, it's to authority. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. You know, that means the speed limit. I was stopped by an officer a few years ago, and just riding along, going to a meeting. And I told him this. Oh, he says, that's the trouble with you preachers. You're always in a hurry. But you know, I could have rebelled. You know, godliness is something that takes a lifetime to develop. There's a vast difference, brethren, in spirituality and godliness. Godliness takes a lifetime. And when you go through this chapter, you'll see that demeanor that's shown by that meek and quiet spirit. Not the woman's liberation movement that governs our day. But you know, it governs the interests of the brethren as well. Subjection to masters in chapter 2. Subjection to the lordship of Christ. You know what that will do? I won't overreact in the flesh the way the godless world does. If I'm stopped by a police officer, I won't lose control. And if someone cuts me off a bit in my driving, I won't explode and try to retaliate and do the same to them. I was with a brother one day and he did that, and I thought I was nearly in heaven. Actually ran him off the road. I looked at him, brother. I said, you're supposed to be a Christian. You see, how fine the word of God cuts. If Christ is Lord in my life, it'll be recognized. You know, I've made lots of mistakes. I could raise the next 5 children, I think, a little better than the first 5. Still working on a couple of them. But I haven't got all the answers. You know, we're plagued today with men that have all the answers. Counselors. And they forget that all the answers are right here in God's book. Oh, brethren, we need to recognize this as Samuel, that he grew, we read, before the Lord. The Lord was with him. My, it's wonderful when you see God with a man. You know, we are going through the last half of chapter 12 of the epistle to the Romans at a conference recently in the Bible reading. And the suggestion was made that it's easier to weep with those that weep than to rejoice than those that do rejoice. You know why? Because that cuts across human nature. It takes a good man to encourage a brother when God has been blessing him in his service for the Lord. To encourage him. Mr. McBain was a man that could do that. I've been with him when he has done it. When he has heard of blessing, he would say, I was glad to hear of the blessing that you saw. And here's guidance. Weren't we hearing about that this morning? Dear young believer, you want guidance for your life? It's all in this book.
Thou wilt guide me with thine eye, and afterward receive me into glory. Now that's chapter 5. One last reference to what we read about Samuel. Listen to these lovely words as God describes him. Chapter 2 and verse 26. The child Samuel grew on. Not only did he grow, not only was God with him, but he grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with man. And chapter 5 of Peter's epistle takes us on to that eternal day of glory. Peter describes it. He says, the God of all grace hath called us unto his eternal glory. And you and I, because of our link with the Master, are looking forward to this glad day when in association with a divine person, when that glorious millennial kingdom is established, and throughout the endless ages of eternity, we shall reign from sea to sea and from the rivers unto the ends of the earth. The Lord bless his word and encourage our hearts and help us to own something of Christ as Lord in our hearts until he comes for his name's sake.